Should Governor Walker run for president or not in 2016? What kind of president do you think Governor Walker would make, and why? Have you heard about Governor Walker's book? We asked these questions in a new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, and we will discuss the answers in this half hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, December 18th. And we will have another set of survey results to discuss after 7:30 this morning. We also asked in this survey whether you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act and whether you approve or disapprove of President Obama's job performance. But first, do you think Governor Walker would make an excellent or good president, or would he be a not-so-good or poor president, and why? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. More than 50 people have already posted there. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. All right, well, let's welcome our guest. We'll have her with us all hour to discuss these survey results. Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Well, this is a treat getting to talk about two fall surveys in one fall. This is a follow-up to our October release. Went back into the field and just wanted to see if people had, number one, heard about Governor Walker's new book. What did we find out?
Well, we found the majority have heard that he's written a book and that it's been published. 56% said yes, 44% said no. There's a significant age issue here, and that is older folks were much more likely to have heard of it. Those who are 55 and over, 75% had heard of the book, compared to those who are in the 18 to 25 category, only 22% had heard.
Hmm. Does it surprise you at all that a book that was written in a way that a lot of people were speculating he was going to run for president, it got a lot of national attention, national news shows. Does it surprise you that 44% of the people in his own state haven't heard of the book?
Well, we were in the field at the 23rd of November, so it was just after it had been released, so it hadn't been released that long. So I think it was still in the early stages of it, and I think that age differential really tells you a lot, and that is who's kind of paying attention to some of the more detailed news, as tends to be the older folks.
Yeah, and you did ask some questions about a possible Governor Walker presidential run, and it looks like most Wisconsin residents aren't exactly in agreement with that prospect.
Yeah, 51% said that they oppose having Walker run for the Republican presidential nomination, compared to 39% that favor. And no one's going to be surprised that there's a huge partisan difference here. 71% of Republicans favor, 23% of Republicans oppose. Of Democrats, 20% favor, 77% oppose. And the all-important independents in the middle, only 26% approve of his running for the GOP nomination, 53% oppose, but 21% of the independents said they weren't sure.
Yeah. And, of course, some of the Republicans who would say, no, I don't approve of Governor Walker running for president, could be like some of our Facebook posters who say, no, the state needs him here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's early in October when we did the first round of the survey, we asked whether we thought Governor Walker should be reelected or not. And there we find among Republicans, 86% say that he should be reelected. So we're definitely seeing that difference there.
And also of the Democrats in this survey who said that they think the governor should run for president are thinking, well, maybe then he won't be governor.
Have at it. Yeah. I mean, I think we're sort of seeing that of running for president, 20% of Democrats say yes, whereas deserving re-election, only 10% of Democrats said yes.
Yeah. Well, this might be the most most provocative question. We also asked, what kind of a president do we think Governor Walker would be? What exactly did we ask?
We asked, do you think Governor Walker would make an excellent, good, not so good, or poor president? And what we found was 12% say that he would be excellent, 29% said that he'd be good, 18% not so good, and 36% poor.
And how's that politically break down?
Yeah, mm-hmm. not surprising. Nobody's going to be surprised here. So let's do the Republicans first. 30% say that he would be excellent, and 51% said that he'd be good. So that's 81% with a positive rating. Among Democrats, only 1% said that he'd be excellent, 9% good, so a 10% positive rating. And then among independents, 4% excellent, 25% good.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty low among the independents.
Well, when I'm adding this up, it seems that a majority of all respondents, if I did my math right, 54% said that he would be poor or not so good.
Right.
And what is it, 41% say that he would be excellent or good.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, listeners? So what kind of a president do you think Governor Walker would make? Would he be excellent, good, not so good, poor, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We already have lots of posters on Facebook. Stephanie on Facebook says, Governor Walker rocks. He would be a great president. Well, do you agree with Stephanie or not? And why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our big question segment. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are actually exploring a number of big questions during this hour. In this half, we are talking about a couple of questions we asked in a new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. We asked a few questions about Governor Walker and whether or not we think he should run for president, and what kind of a president do we think Governor Walker would make. And we're asking you to weigh in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Wendy Scattergood, an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College, associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. And let's take some calls. Sandra and Racine is with us. Hi, Sandra.
Oh, hi. I only have a few seconds. Governor Walker is, his education is not high enough, complete enough to deal with all the things that a president would have to deal with. Yeah, he didn't finish his college degree, and I don't think that's proper.
All right, thanks. So I guess Sandra doesn't think that he's qualified, so he wouldn't be, so she wouldn't approve of him running or think he'd be a great president. Professor Scattergood, do you have any thoughts on whether that would be a liability in a run for president?
I think everything gets scrutinized, and I think when you look at the primary race for the Republicans in the 2012 election, you know, I show a graph of a tracking poll, and it just looks like chaos, and I call it the flavor of the month sort of graph, and that's, you know, as different candidates get scrutinized, every aspect of their life is going to come up, and even when Obama was running in 2008, there was a lot of discussion about whether he really had the chops for foreign policy, and that was one of the reasons why he chose Biden as the vice president. And so a lot of those kinds of issues are going to come up, certainly.
Lyman couldn't hang on, but he wanted to ask, how has Governor Walker demonstrated he can work with a divided government? How would that transfer to international diplomacy? Governor Walker actually had made some comments in interviews that he wasn't necessarily a fan of divided government, and he thought that having one party control of Congress and the presidency would be better for getting things done. Comments on that?
That kind of flies in the face with a lot of the public sentiment, and we really saw this during the shutdown, both with our own poll that we did in October as well as the national polls, is that people really wanted compromise, and they were just angry at both sides, but it hit the Republicans in Congress a little bit more than it was hitting the Democrats, as to they felt that they weren't compromising, that they do want that. We asked a few years ago whether people actually liked the idea of divided government or not, and they do. I think they feel like it's another check built into the system when you have divided government. So certainly if you're the guy trying to get stuff done, I mean, you probably do want unified government, but that's certainly not what we've seen in general from the public.
Well, Paul on Facebook, along those same lines, says he would be a tragic president. He has said divided government doesn't work and that there is almost zero chance to get the supermajorities required on the federal level. With his attitude toward compromise and the Democrats, he would never be able to lead the country in a functional way, which is why I am absolutely unafraid of him running, and I hope he just leaves the state by any means necessary. So I guess there's a Democratic-leaning listener who says go ahead and run because he doesn't want him in the state. Ed on Facebook says Governor Walker probably would be a not so good president, but who is a good candidate? Presidents normally are not good or bad until they've been there a while. Comments on that?
Yeah, that's certainly true. And when we're looking at sort of the list of people who are being talked about for the GOP nomination, I mean, it's this huge, long list of people that are being talked about. Scott Walker, of course, Paul Ryan is one of them as well. I think right now Chris Christie is sort of sitting at the top, but he's really someone who's known for negotiating and doing some compromising with his own state legislature. But then again, Rand Paul is running number two right now. So, and Ted Cruz at number three, and those are some of the more polarizing figures. So I think within the Republican Party right now, we're really seeing, you know, some distancing between sort of two different sides of it. And then, you know, some of the Republicans like Ted Cruz or Rand Paul and even Scott Walker in Wisconsin are very sort of polarizing figures where they are very, very popular with a certain segment of the population and very, very unpopular with another segment.
So is Governor Walker in or not in the top tier of candidates in or potential candidates in national polls?
Right now, it looks like he's sort of in that second tier. Mm-hmm. In the top tend to be Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush. And then we find sort of Paul Ryan, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, John Kasich, Sarah Palin is in some of them being looked at. Mm-hmm. So.
Janet in Sauk City is with us. Hi, Janet.
I think he'd make a poor president because he has made statements that make me think that he believes there's two ways to look at everything, his way and the wrong way. He doesn't compromise. And Washington is already so full of non-compromising type things that I think it would be a disaster if we get anybody in there who won't compromise.
Thank you very much, Janet. So let's go to Ron in Eau Claire. Hi, Ron. What do you think?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Oh, well, I hope, to be honest, I hope he does run for president. I think he'd have a tough time running for governor in this state when everything is brought to light that he's done, starting with, you know, what he's done to labor and how our jobs numbers are stacking up since we're not leading the country. We're following along behind everybody else. But put him on the world stage and we would see the truth come out, what he's actually done in Wisconsin. And he'd have to come back to the center because he's so far off to the right, just like Rubio and all the rest of them. He has no chance, but at least we'd lose him as governor.
All right, thanks very much, Ron. And we have an open line for you and a few more minutes on this particular big question. What kind of president do you think Governor Walker would make? Would he be an excellent president, a good one, not so good or a poor president, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will also take your responses to another question that we asked in the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, and that's whether you approve or disapprove of Governor Walker running for president. And we just heard Ron Wendy Scattergood saying that when it comes to light, that our economy in Wisconsin or the job situation in Wisconsin isn't so great, that's going to really hurt Governor Walker's chances should he decide to run for president. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's certainly an interesting question. And I think when we asked a lot of questions about the economy in our October survey and comparing responses between national and state, people in Wisconsin are much more optimistic about the economy in the state than they are about the nation. So they're sort of definitely making comparisons between those two and looking at the right direction. If you recall that people thought, 50% thought that the state of Wisconsin was going in the right direction compared to only 17% thinking the nation was going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. What is there any indication that that Governor Walker is moderating his views or moving to the middle, trying to be a more compromising politician?
From what we're looking at right now, and particularly, I mean, he's looking at what he thinks the party should do, and you know, from what I've seen about his book, I haven't read his book yet, but about some of the reviews that are looking at that, he's saying, stand strong for what you believe in, and that you don't need to do that at this point. So, and that's certainly the kind of line you need to take if you're going to try to win your party's, on either side, party's nomination.
Mm-hmm. Mark on Facebook says he would do great, saying that Governor Walker would make a great president, but we need him as governor. It was in the news this week that Governor Walker was asked, because there has been a little bit of political speculation that maybe he wouldn't run for re-election as governor. And he said this week, you know, don't bet against me. Any thoughts, Wendy, whether Governor Walker would run for re-election or not?
I think at this point, yeah, that nobody's going to come out and say one way or the other. I mean, we're hearing the same thing from the other candidates who are governors in other states as well, is that it is early to be sort of talking about these issues, even though it's hot in the news. There's polls all over the place in terms of speculation. There's the same with on the Democratic side. I mean, everyone sort of presumes Hillary is going to run, but she hasn't actually said she's going to yet. So
let's go to Colleen in Darlington. Hello, Colleen.
Hi, I always enjoy your show. I don't think Scott Walker would make a good president. Anybody that wants to conquer and divide is not the right direction to go. And anybody that sticks up for the wealthy and not the poor and the middle class, I totally think he's not a good candidate.
All right. Thank you very much, Colleen. Let's go to Stephanie in Sussex. Hello, Stephanie.
Good morning. My question with Scott Walker and the Republican Party would be, would that party support a candidate that has a lack of higher education?
Well, we touched on this before. Would that be a liability is what I asked, but do you think the Republican Party's concerned about that, Wendy?
Certainly they're going to be looking at all of those factors, and they can spin it away and saying that, you know, trying to address some of their voters. But when, like, we break down party identification by education and age and those kinds of things, and we see sort of the lower education levels tending to be the older folks, and that a lot of the support for the Republican Party is coming from people who do have, you know, at least some college but probably the highest among the Republicans is people who actually have college degrees.
We have Kelly on Facebook who says he screwed up our state environmentally, educationally, lack of job creation, women's rights. He has been under investigation pretty much the entire time he's been in office. Again, all those issues would be looked at should he make a should he try to make a run for the presidency, Wendy Scattergood?
Absolutely. And what's interesting here is we're even hearing it on calling in, but we found this in the data as well, is that there's a gender difference here. And while women tend to be more Democratic than Republican, we certainly found that, and men tend to be more Republican than Democrat, it's even greater than that in terms of approval ratings, whether you think he'd be a good president. There still is a gender factor beyond just the partisan identification. And that's really coming from men and women who are independents. And among independents, men are more likely to feel stronger, more strongly about Governor Walker than women are. So that's going to, I think, be an interesting factor in the upcoming gubernatorial and potentially presidential elections, is how gender issues and their effect on people voting.
Well, Wendy Scattergood will stay with us for the next half hour, but we are going to change our big questions. We are going to be asking whether or not you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, and what do you think of President Obama's job performance? Those are our big questions after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are discussing the results of a new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, a follow-up to our fall survey that we released in October. After the rocky rollout of healthcare.gov and all the problems being reported in the news, including people having their health plans canceled, we thought we would ask again if we support or oppose the Affordable Care Act. And do we approve or disapprove of President Obama's job performance? What are your answers to those questions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 7:37 on this Wednesday, December 18th, and we are exploring a number of big questions during this big question segment. And we have, by the way, posted all of the results of this follow-up to the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College fall survey on Wisconsin Public Radio's website, WPR.org. And we do have a couple of big questions also posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and at WPR.org/joy, so you can vote online as well. Our guest is Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. All right, Wendy, we asked if people approved or disapproved of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and what's the verdict?
The verdict is that it is a 47% support and 49% oppose. So that's down quite a bit, actually, from our October survey when we had 54% supporting and 44% opposed.
So the rocky rollout has influenced our opinion of this.
Yeah, it definitely has. Although compared to the fall of 12, it's pretty similar to what we found then in terms of support and opposition.
Okay. Well, President Obama's job performance numbers also went down.
Yeah, they did. He's at 44% overall approval right now compared to 48% in October and then down from 53% in the spring of 13. And as well as we broke down a little bit more, strongly approve only 7%, strongly approve 37%, approve 24%, disapprove, and 29% strongly disapprove.
Yeah. Well, so are President Obama's numbers then suffering because of the negative reporting following the rollout of healthcare.gov?
Yeah, we've been seeing that as well in the national polls as well, is that he took a hit in the latter part of October into November. And so while we have a 44% approval rating, the national averages are about 42% in that range, sort of 38 to 43. So we're kind of right on the high end, actually, a little bit of that range. But President Obama is actually at this point in his presidency is actually right where George W. Bush was at this same period.
So that's it's not uncommon for a president in the second term to have numbers this low.
Well, George W. Bush and Obama, I think, are a little bit unique in that if we look at Reagan and Clinton, for example, they were quite a bit higher during this time period of their second. LBJ was higher. He was at 61%. So it's these last two presidents, and, we are sort of coming into another period in historically where I think we're more polarized and people are more overall approval ratings for sort of all of the institutions is sliding down, and we've seen that trend starting with George W. Bush and continuing into the Obama administration.
Yeah. Well, the rollout of the website was pretty bad by most accounts. People on both sides of the aisle were complaining about how the website wasn't working. But now that's apparently been fixed for the most part, but we're still hearing stories about people who are losing coverage or premiums going up for their coverage. Talk some about the impact of public opinion on the Affordable Care Act.
We're definitely seeing a decline all over. It's not just here in Wisconsin where we're seeing a decline in support, but also nationally. What's interesting is you look at some of the national polling, and there when you ask about people's own coverage, because of course a lot of people are covered and are pretty happy with their coverage actually, but then they look at sort of the overall healthcare system and insurance coverage overall, and there's a big disconnect there between what they feel about their own coverage and the overall national. Another interesting part of that, too, is if you look at a general question, do you think government should be involved in insurance, health insurance coverage? And the change in that since 2000 is pretty drastic. And majority of people in all parties actually saying, yeah, the government should play a role in that in 2000 to pretty steadily, particularly starting in 2008, to really changing, particularly among Republicans and independents. But even some of the Democrats are moving more toward a no government shouldn't be involved in this, and that's sort of a more general question.
Yeah. Then again, with all of the problems, including the president taking a lot of flack over saying that if you like your plan, you can keep it, and that not being the case, it's still virtually tied. I mean, isn't it 47% to 49%? That
right.
With the margin of error, we're just evenly divided over whether we in Wisconsin like the Affordable Care Act or not.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing it's a little bit different from some of the other state polls, and I just want to kind of point out that we actually ask, do you strongly support, somewhat oppose,
okay,
and strongly oppose? And I think that's accounting for some of those differences, because rather than just asking whether you favor or oppose, we're seeing 32% actually say they somewhat support, and then 15% say they strongly support, and then we have 36% that strongly oppose. So there is a big chunk of the people that either support or at least somewhat support it. And then there's that sort of polarizing that group of folks, that 36% who really, really don't like it.
Now, and certainly a lot can happen between now and next November, the midterms. But if healthcare issues keep sticking around, are we looking at the possibility of Republican victories like like we saw in 2010?
I think there is definitely potential there. I think the economy is still the number one issue. And so people's perception of the national economy is going to play probably the biggest role. But as well, healthcare is up there at number two right now. And as you say, that's a long time in politics, and a lot can change. I think still probably in some of the pollings, we're seeing some of the backlash after the shutdown. That will certainly, you know, as long as we don't do it again in the beginning of the year, which obviously as the news is coming out, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And that those kinds of effects that we're seeing in the polls right now are going to go away. So, yeah, I think healthcare, if the problems continue, it's certainly going to play a factor in the upcoming elections.
We are talking about a couple of big questions that we asked in a new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, the Wisconsin Survey for Fall of 2013, Part 2. We asked, do you strongly approve, disapprove, or strongly disapprove of the way Barack Obama is handling his job as president? What's your answer to that question? And from what you know about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, would you say that you strongly support, somewhat oppose, or strongly oppose this policy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, December 18th. Every Wednesday at this time, we examine a big issue that's facing the state or nation. And usually we have a guest or guests discussing or debating that issue. Today we have several big questions because we asked a number of questions in a new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. All of the results are posted on WPR.org. We are discussing whether or not we approve or disapprove of President Obama's job performance and whether we approve or disapprove of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Our guest is Wendy Scattergood. She's an associate with the St. Norbert Strategic Research Institute and an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Our first caller is Randy in Black River Falls. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
Your first question was what I think of the president personally. I think he's trying, but he's not doing a very good job. He needs to be more diplomatic. Excuse me. Secondly, on the Affordable Health Care Act, personally, I can't afford insurance. I couldn't afford $5 a month right now if I had it. And I think what he is doing is making a mess out of it. He should put a cap on what doctors get paid, because a doctor should be a doctor because he wants to help people, not because he's getting rich. And I think we should look at some of the other countries in the world that the government takes care of all of the health care. Mm-hmm. It comes out of the taxes. It's like a big pool. And I think that's something he ought to think about, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Randy. Do we know, Wendy Scattergood, if there is any possibility of tweaks, big or small, to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's certainly possible, and we know that, you know, when we look at the individual mandate, of course, it's already gone through the Supreme Court. When we break down the Affordable Care Act into its constituent pieces, there are a lot of support for the different pieces of it. We know from Massachusetts, who went through this, that they did actually a lot of tweaking, that the state legislature passed a number of bills that tweaked it along the way. That's going to be a lot more difficult in the U.S. Congress, because there is such a strong constituency, particularly within the House, that wants to get rid of it altogether. And so making those kinds of changes is going to be much more difficult than it was in Massachusetts.
Randy said he couldn't afford health insurance, even if it was $5 a month. If you are poor, the Affordable Care Act does help you financially, doesn't it?
Certainly. And you know, if you are poor enough, then you're going to be covered by Medicaid or badger care in this case.
Yeah.
So it's the premiums are on a sliding scale depending on your income.
Yeah. Let's and then what we are hearing from people who say my premiums are going up and they're mad, and others will counter with, well, when haven't your insurance premiums gone up?
Yeah, the inflation rate on insurance and particularly medical costs overall is much higher than the inflation rate on other sort of consumer products, and that's been true for many years now.
Yeah, let's go next to Katie in Racine. Hello, Katie.
Hi. Thanks for bringing this topic up. First, regarding President Obama's job, you know, with the situation he's in, he's very limited to what he can accomplish because of his skin color. And people forget that. They want to ignore that. There have been comments made by the Tea Partiers that they want to do everything to bring him down. So what's happening here is our representatives, too many of them, not all of them, but too many of them are not working for the people who put them in office. And that's what they were voted in to do, and that's not happening. So you have a group of individuals that are not working together to get anything accomplished. And regarding the Affordable Care Act, you know, he's done something. Hillary tried. They knocked her down. Our president has done something. It's not perfect. But, again, what can you accomplish when you have people in Congress who refuse to work together? They act like a bunch of 10-year-olds, and it makes it very, very difficult for those of us who are counting on them to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a response, Wendy?
I think one of the things that we're seeing both in the support for the Affordable Care Act and in Obama's approval ratings is that among Democrats and independents, there's sort of lukewarm support. But then among Republicans, there's a strong opposition. And I think that could have an effect as we move closer to the midterm elections. Is turnout's going to be an issue. If the Republicans are really galvanized, 75% of Republicans strongly oppose the Affordable Care Act, and 65% of Republicans strongly disapprove of the job that the president has done, compared to 65% of Democrats only somewhat approve of the job the president is doing. And so I think that can be an issue here as we move forward, that it's not simply within Congress, but I think we're seeing some of that in the public as well.
Jan in Appleton emails, I don't think it's just the Obamacare website that has driven down Mr. Obama's approval rating. It is that in conjunction with his untrustworthiness and his lies, his willingness to stretch the truth in order to get reelected. And let me bring in Jeff from Appleton, because I think he's going to bring up another similar point. Jeff, go ahead.
I right there kind of said it. You had mentioned that he was taking flack for saying that you can keep your health care. He's not taking flack. He's being called out on a flat-out lie. He lied.
Yeah.
He knew it.
He was also, that was named the lie of the year by PolitiFact as well. So, Wendy, so it's not just the problems with the website, it's that the president lied.
Yeah, I think that's definitely out there, as you say. PolitiFact has come out with some of those facts. In fact, there's a lot of pants on fire going on both sides in terms of talking about what's going on with the Affordable Care Act. But certainly that's going on now. The question is how long will that sort of last, if that's going to be sort of a lasting trust issue, or whether people are going to eventually say that, oh, maybe that's just he meant to do that, but then there was sort of a glitch in the system. It's hard to tell at this point. I think definitely, as the callers and the Facebook people have said, that people certainly look at that as a lack of trust issue at this point.
Scott in Whitewater is with us. Hello, Scott.
I'd like to kind of make 3 points. I do like President Obama. I think people are forgetting his successes. I mean, he captured the most hated man in the world as far as Americans go. He's done a lot of good things, and the Affordable Care Act helps me on two different levels. I am a business owner. I'm in the food industry. I do just over $500,000 a year in sales. I have a dozen employees, and I keep a lot of my employees because they're deciding to drop out of college and take $9-$10 an hour or $10-$11 job an hour jobs to get health insurance. And I say, hey, go on your parents' insurance. You can do that with Obamacare. And I've had several of them thank me for doing that. They didn't know that. They're staying in school. They're working for me part-time and going on to hopefully do great things. And I also work full-time for a large energy company. And my insurance over the last 6 years, my smallest increase was $80 a month. This year is the first year we have no increase in our insurance. And if your guest could answer, I worked with a man this weekend buying a car. He was a college graduate, had epilepsy. Obama saved GM. He worked for GM. He had epilepsy, would not be able to get health insurance. Now he can if he's ever out on the market. And he's against the Affordable Care Act and Obama. And it's tough to be, it's tough to argue with that guy.
Well, that kind of threw me for a loop there, because so it's somebody who's being helped by the Affordable Care Act who is against the Affordable Care Act. Maybe that means some people, there are success stories and there are people who don't quite understand Wendy Scattergood.
We've certainly seen that as we've broken down the pieces. We did this in October, actually, and when we ask about that pre-existing condition, requiring insurance companies to cover everyone regardless of pre-existing conditions, 81% approve. So that's a huge portion of both Republicans and independents who are also in favor of changing those pieces of it. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the mandate of actually having insurance for a lot of these people. Again, I think it's more of that general, do you think government should be involved in this? But then they're sort of thinking more generally. But then when you ask them about the specific details, like the being covered on your parents' insurance longer and things like that, there is a lot of broad-based support for that.
So do you think, Wendy, in our final minute, briefly, please, that whether we'll see much different numbers in the spring when we do our survey again?
I think if the Obama administration does a better job of sort of, again, explaining the different pieces of it, and if the website begins to work, we begin to hear maybe more support and success stories, I think that story could begin to change by the spring, definitely. Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly talk to you then, if not before. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, talking with us this hour about a special follow-up survey to our fall survey. Wisconsin Public Radio and St. Norbert College asked about the Affordable Care Act and asked about Governor Walker possibly running for president. And we have posted those results on WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.